Those of you who are regular members here will know that we are running a series this sort of January, February up until Easter time. And what we're doing is working under the sort of working title of, well, who can tell me what the working title is of our sermon series? Determine to be different. Make the choice to say we are different. And we thought 2 weeks ago how we are new creations in Christ. And then we thought that we do have an enemy and that we exist in a spiritual realm as well as a physical realm all the time. And so it's hard to be different. There's a lot coming against us because we're always in a spiritual battle. We're on the winning side in that battle because it was won ultimately in Jesus. We've been given prayer, we've been given the armor, we've been given all sorts of things to help us to continue and enforce that victory that Jesus has won in the spiritual realm. And then last week we thought about the way that if we're going to be different, let's be different in the way we allow God to order our week, to order our time, to think about how we are going to plan our week. And we looked at the Old Ten Commandments, and particularly the not working on the Sabbath day, and thought, how does that apply to us today? How do we allow God to be in charge? And then today, we're thinking about determined to be different at home. The whole area of how we just are different in the way that we live at home, the way that we run our homes, the way we raise our kids, all of those things. How are we different in that area because of the fact that we're new creations, because of the fact we know we've got a spiritual battle going on, because of the fact that God is at the center of our lives and we want to honor him. How does that work out in the home? Well, those of you who are regular here will know that I'm a single man, have no wife, and certainly have therefore no children. So I have asked Afua, who has both a husband and children, to come and share with us a little bit about how she runs her home and how that works out, and how she and her husband are trying to put Christ at the center, determining to be different from their non-Christian neighbors and friends in the way that they raise their kids, the way that they relate to each other. So I'm going to ask Afua to come and to speak.
Good afternoon, Good afternoon, church. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm not great at public speaking, so do bear with me. I'm really honoured today that Bill's asked me to speak to you guys about marriage and raising children in a Christian home. I've written down something, so I'll be reading off of a sheet, but I'll try and interact as well as possible. Let me know if you can't hear me. So we've heard the passage from Ephesians talking about husbands loving your wives just as Christ loved the church, about wives being subject to your husband. And I'm going to give you an aspect of how Rodney and I have kind of implemented this in our lives. So, marriage. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. I'm sure it's a very familiar passage to many. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. And it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, it always perseveres, love never fails. Now, along this journey of life, I'm sure many of you can attest to having failed in many points of the scripture, and Rodney and I are really no different. However, by God's grace and a willingness to grow, we've come to rely quite heavily on these words and have a determination to be different and to find our place as a family unit in a world that's ever-changing. So a brief history about Rodney and I. Obviously, he's not here today. He's in Ghana, which is a really big shame because he's so tall, he'd hide me. Rodney and I are not your conventional couple, not by any stretch of the imagination. By sight, as I said, he's 6'4" and I'm 5'3", so we look like little and large. He's the quiet, introverted homebody who likes to cook, and I'm the bubbly, outspoken one, always eager to meet new people. We're both part traditional and part millennial, for those of you that would know. Makes us quite odd. But in actual fact, on paper, we shouldn't work. I believe God has always had a different plan for us. Rodney and I have been together for 14 years and have been traditionally married for 12. We were quite young when we got together, but quickly realised we both believed in Jesus and wanted to grow together in our faith. In fact, one of our first dates was at a conference at Ruach Church, Brixton. I knew then that he was different and that God had a calling on his life. Unfortunately, the devil knew this too and has constantly thrown obstacles our way. Through discussions and searches together, we eventually found a home in a church with quite a young congregation, but a powerful presence of the Spirit of God. Within this church, we were encouraged to grow in our faith, in our union, learn more about Christ and who we were in him, and discover what his purpose was for our lives. After much struggle, Rodney grew in confidence as the head of the household and I his supportive partner. Through our trials and tribulations, our journey hasn't been an easy one. Establishing our roles within our relationship has taken time, trial and error, a willingness to grow, and much grace. And to be honest, till today, we still stumble. Dogged by the virtues of our mixed African and British culture, we have had to find our fit in this Christian walk. What's right and what's wrong according to the Ghanaian interpretation of the word, and versus everybody else's opinions. The truth is, Jesus is and will always be at the centre of it all. Remembering to refer to the word of God when we're struggling, fellowshipping together with praise and worship, which is something that we always do when we're feeling low or the other's not quite where they want to be. Remembering to stay thankful in all things, supporting one another when one's faith is weak, and praying together when we remember to. Doing the utmost not to judge one another, which is also very easy for us to do. So what do we do to try and be different? Well, we're not perfect, but please let me encourage you, in whatever stage of life that you are, to, like us in our union, aspire to adhere to the Corinthians passage, as Jesus was the ultimate example of each. So, patience. Understanding one another's point of view, taking time to let the other catch up if one's further along. It's so easy to be snap, but patience is the key. Kindness, sharing, listening, and exuding empathy whenever possible. Jealousy and envy. Now, I don't know about you women, but I know that's an issue for me most of the time. But rather being happy for each other, each other's blessings, each other's joys, and celebrating each other. Not being boastful. Encouraging one another to achieve their goals and aspirations. Pride. Not to think too highly of yourself or look down on others, rather being inspirational. Again, it can be very easy to get holier than thou, and it's not encouraging when you're as part of a couple. Dishonoring others, not to gossip or to discredit others. Again, as a female, big issue, but it's a prayer point for me. Self-seeking, try not to be selfish or a glory hunter, doing things for the praise and accolade of self. Slow to anger, so not easily angered. Again, this is an issue for Rodney. Quite hot-tempered, as calm as he can be, his outward appearance. It's been a prayer point for him to be slow to anger in dealing with the children, in dealing with colleagues, in dealing with me. I can be irritating. So to exercise more compassion. No record of wrongs. Again, here, women, I know that we write down everything that our men do to us, or colleagues, friends, store it up here and kind of bring it up in arguments. No record of wrongs. Try not to hold on to grudges. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Being honest and open with each other, not afraid to say sorry when in the wrong. As overall, love protects, it trusts, it always hopes, it perseveres, and love never fails. Jesus is love, and therefore Jesus never fails. Being determined to be different at home with the children. Taking a passage from Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the passage that's on our service sheet, Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So our African culture, as Rodney and I are both African and British, often denotes that a child should be seen and not heard as a sign of respect. This is understandable. However, it often leaves a child voiceless and without an opinion. It is so easy to believe that as adults, we are always right. But this attitude is the very thing that can provoke your child to anger and strip them of self-worth. Once Rodney and I started having children, we have three boys. That's Malachi, Tristan and Kamali, two of which were being a bit of a nuisance earlier on. We were determined to be different. We weren't sure how, but we definitely wanted to raise bold, confident, yet respectful young boys who loved God and could walk in their purpose, express themselves confidently, and a pleasure to be around. Having children changed the landscape and the dynamics of our relationship dramatically. Our strengths and weaknesses were exposed, and we were suddenly overwhelmed by the weight of the responsibility. We knew that we had to rely heavily on God's plan and direction for our lives. Therefore, some of the things that we did do together: we dedicated all the children to God in a ceremony at church. We encouraged the boys to develop their own personal relationship with God through prayer and learning stories from the Bible. Again, sometimes we can enforce or infringe religion upon our children, and the truth is we just want them to know their truth and discover their own truth, build their own personal relationship with Christ so that they won't depart from it. Letting them understand God's purpose for their lives, knowing that they had been fearfully and wonderfully made. Attending Sunday school regularly to learn more about Christ and encourage them to have those conversations with their friends in school and at church and wherever else they congregate. Encourage them to express themselves respectfully to adults, beginning with Rodney and I, without fear of reproach. Possibly the biggest taboo for us as parents was saying sorry to the boys whenever we as adults were in the wrong. Again, culturally, it is taboo for an adult to be humble or apologetic to a child. But it is human and it is Christ-like, because children are human and they need to see our flaws and see us humble. And so that's one thing that Rodney and I always do when we're very rarely in the wrong. We also try our very best to speak life over the children and not death, confessing positivity over them and encouraging them to be strong in all that they do. Watching, learning and listening to the boys as they grow has been the biggest lesson and blessing of our growth as a family. Unashamedly expressing our love for one another hopefully sets a similar example of Christ's love for his children. Our journey is far from over, and I continue to pray that God guides our path and fulfills his plan and purpose for us, and also for you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well done, Afua. Thank you very much. So determined to be different in the home. Different because we are different. We are new creations in Christ. Determined to be different despite the fact that the pressures of the world. And that's why I wanted Afua to have a chance to share something with us. And there are just a few things that I'm wanting to say, because I'm not a parent, but I'm a godparent, I'm an uncle, I'm a great uncle. So I have children impacting onto my life to an extent. And we all do. And I think that it's really important that we should do three things. We need to pray for our children. It's something that we heard Margaret in the testimony earlier on. Just feeling that there were so many things that are coming against children and young people. So many pressures from the world. So things that are totally different that our teenagers are facing, our young people are facing, our children are facing, that was not the case when many of us were growing up. And so really praying for them. But something else that I know many parents will seek to do, and I would really thoroughly commend as being something that is helpful, is to pray with your children. Obviously, it will vary a little depending how old they are and how many children you've got and all how that works. There are lots of resources that are available to help, to try and find ways of enabling prayers with children that are relevant to the age. And there needs to be great flexibility. I mean, you know, most of us, we're quite like, good, I found something that works, I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'll do that. And we fail to notice that actually what was good for the children 6 months ago or 3 months ago is actually not working for them today. And so learning to be praying with the children, but being flexible about how we do that, adapting what we do, the way we do it, in order that it can be appropriate. And again, parents have said to me that some of the things that they learn about what life is actually like for their children comes from those times of saying prayers with their children. You ask the children what they would like to pray for, what they'd like to thank God for, who they'd like to pray for, and stories will come out of things that have happened at school that haven't come out in any other context whatsoever. And they can be really good moments of insight that will in turn feed and pray work in to praying for your children. So something that's really important, I mean, other dads have said to me the only time that they ever actually themselves read the Bible is when they read the Bible with the kids, because they've made the promise that they will. Now, I'm not commending that as a lifestyle choice, but I'm just aware that in the pressures and busyness of life, that is sometimes the case. And so again, making that promise and that commitment to say, I will read the Bible with my children, I will pray with my children, is something that I would thoroughly commend as being, there's no way that our non-Christian neighbours are going to do that. Praying with the children is a distinctly different thing that we will do because we are Christians. So praying for the children, praying scripture over them, really praying that they grow to become the men and women, the soldiers and servants of the Lord Jesus that God wants them to be. Praying with the children. But another thing that I would thoroughly recommend is just allowing your children to see you praying. Had a friend when I was at theological college. He was an undergraduate, and he was saying that he knew that his father really believed, because every time his dad was facing a difficult decision, he would see his father go off and sit down and open his Bible and really just pray. He wasn't being religious in front of his son, but he was just modeling to the son that when there was a decision to be made, he spoke to his Heavenly Father about it and sought wisdom and guidance from God's Word. And so allowing your children to see you pray, as well as praying for them, as well as praying with them. I remember that once when I was fairly newly ordained, and it was a long time ago, and it was way down before the Iron Curtain had come down and before the opening up of the Soviet Union. And one of the things that happened a lot in those days in the Soviet Union and in other countries within that sphere of influence was that Christian leaders particularly were persecuted quite strongly, and a lot of Protestant pastors of different sorts were taken into prison, and the same can be true in other parts of the world these days too, North Korea or wherever. But the particular family that I went to visit, he was a medical guy, and he was on secondment to our church for 6 months. And so I went to visit them as a family. And we sat at their table in their kitchen. And they had sitting next door to the salt and pepper on the table a little box. And in the little box were 30 small cards which had details of people who were imprisoned for the faith in the Soviet Union, Baptist pastors and other Protestant pastors and people. And sometimes they really had, sometimes it was a photograph, sometimes it was just a name, and they had 30 of them so that once a day they could pray. And they'd got into the habit of, as they said grace at the beginning of the meal, they got the card for the day out and they looked at it and they lifted that person to the Lord. And they had a child who was about 9 or 10 at the time. And the parents were telling me that it had been amazing because after a while the child started to pray and he prayed for the children of the pastors. And he prayed for them at school if dad was in prison. And he prayed just thinking through from what would it be like to be 9 or 10 with your dad persecuted for the faith. And the parents were just saying it was an amazing thing that it would never have crossed their mind that, you know, it might be, and Lord bless their wife and children. But actually to pray from the perspective of the child was an enormously important thing. So I would encourage you to pray for your children, to pray with your children, and to let your children see you praying as areas of ways that we can be different. And then I think just coming back to the verse that we've already referred to in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I think just reflecting on what are the sort of things that make you angry. Remembering that your children are young adults. They're going to get angry over the same sort of things, where things are unfair. Things are unreasonable, things that you feel that you've been badly treated. And so taking the time as parents to reflect on what is causing my child to feel angry, to feel, other translations have, exasperated. Actually trying to take the thing of walking in their shoes for a bit, really seeking to find what is an empathetic thing. What does it feel like to be that child at that age? Now, yes, we do have to encourage our children, just as Afua was saying, to be respectful and yet to have their own personalities. But this thing of not exasperating them, not provoking them to anger. And one of the best things that we can do on that is not to get angry with them. And I know that I'm not a parent. And I know a little bit of how irritating children can be. And yes, as an uncle, I can always hand them back to their parents and not have to deal with them. I recognize that. But the times that you walk in a supermarket and you hear children being absolutely berated by clearly the exhausted mum, and who have sympathy with the mum, but my goodness me, what is it doing to the child? We have to be so careful about making sure that we speak over our children words of life and not words of death. Now, the sort of thing I mean is, in a fit of irritation with your children, if you end up saying, "You're so stupid," well, what that is doing is labelling the child, and they're going to take away, I'm stupid. What's actually happened is that they've done a stupid thing. They've done something they shouldn't have done. But they're not stupid. It's important that we hear that distinction and try very hard in our thinking to the children and our speaking to the children to make sure that we speak words of life. Yeah, okay, we have to discipline. But we don't do that negative condemnation, making people feel that they are of no value. And that is something that often that happened to us. And one thing I do know about raising kids is that we tend to repeat, without even consciously realizing it, we tend to repeat what was done to us because that's all that we have stored in our memories. And if some of what was done to us we think actually we weren't grateful for, we need to be coming back to the Lord and saying, "Lord, how do I parent in a way that is different from the way that I was parented? How do I build my marriage relationship so that my children see that my love for my partner reflects the love that you have for the church?" And that's why this passage is always so challenging. The other thing about this passage, as I've often said, is that we look at it and the men are particularly good at reading what the women ought to do, very good at saying they should submit. And the women are awfully good at seeing what the husbands should do, how they should care for their wives. And we very seldom take the same amount of time to reflect on what it's actually saying to us. And I would commend the passage to us. It's a tough job taking the headship responsibility in a family. It's a tough, and it's very unfashionable in today's world. And it's even more unfashionable in today's world to acknowledge that the man has got a headship role and there is a right place for being the helpmeet and supporter in that role, and that's the way that God has planned families to be. That you don't get more countercultural than that. And so we need to be reflecting on, is this what God says? What does it look like? How does it work out? How does it work out in my relationship? How can I learn how to be able to live in this way? Because I am different now that I'm a new creation in Christ. It's understanding that, working through, because Jesus comes first, because he has loved me and given himself for me and made me that new creation, how do I express that difference? And it's not going to be 20 minutes or half an hour of a sermon on Sunday morning that's going to solve it. It's going to require action and thought and work and encouragement. We're going to try and see, if I can get hold of some parenting courses that will help us in this. It's something where we need to learn to encourage one another, to learn from one another. Those who have been parents and the children are now grown, those who are very young parents just starting off with tiny children, we need to be learning to support one another and encourage one another. For those of us who are single and who are not in relationships, we're going to, in different points of the sermon series, we're going to be thinking about, how do I use my leisure time? What are the things that are important to me? So I'm not going to cover too much about that whole area of being single, but obviously we have a measure of control over our lives that people who are married and have children don't have. Because we can be very, in my case certainly, we can close the front door and we're in our own world. Now we need to just consciously make sure that Jesus is at the center of that world, that we're actually submitting to him, we're honoring him, we're loving him, we're seeking to pray for ourselves. I've said before, do we give thanks for our food on occasions when we're by ourselves? We probably do as a Christian household when we've got the family with us, especially the main meal of the day, especially lunchtime or something. But do we do that when we're by ourselves? Do we pray when we're by ourselves? It's at home affects all sorts of things. And the key thing that we're thinking about in this sermon series is, do I know that I'm different because I'm a new creation? And am I determining to be different in the way that I live, because I want to honour Christ and to get to know him better for myself? I want others looking in at my life to see that Jesus comes first with me. And we'll be thinking in different ways in the future about how that works out in a work context when we're in employment, how it works out in how we run our relationships when we're considering marriage, all of that sort of area in our friendships. How we run things that are going to be different. We're going to take a break from this series for a couple of weeks. We've got an all-age service next week at the beginning of half term, and then we have Pledge Sunday coming up. But we will be resuming it again as term resumes again after half term, and we'll be picking up and running with this idea of, how do we determine to be different because we praise God that we are new creations of his and are therefore different in our status before him, different in our citizenship. We now belong in heaven, but we are living here on earth by his kingdom rules. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your amazing grace that rescued us, that came before, because you love us. Father, thank you that You love us unconditionally. Whether we've had a good day or a bad day, we are still your children when we've become Christians. And Father, we pray that you would help us in the same way to reflect that love, that security, that joy, that purpose, that meaning, all those things that come to us in Christ. Father, help us to be able to rejoice in those things and model those things in our home life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.